Happy New Year. As we step out into this new year, this needs to be a year of faith, a year where we follow the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who was dead. Behold, he is now alive and arisen, the one who is returning, who is called our blessed hope. His glorious appearing is the hope for which we truly hope for. And until that day, let us now pray for faith to increase in this church this new year. Father in heaven, we have this whole year before us, and we dedicate it to you. We pray, Lord God, that you would increase our faith as your disciples called to you and said, increase our faith. Lord, we pray that you would increase our faith. Make us stronger in our knowledge of the scriptures, in our love for you, in our love for one another, and our love for the lost. Help us, Lord God, in every step of this journey so that, Lord, your name might be honored and praised among the Gentiles. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please go with me to begin with to the book of Acts. The next several weeks, we'll be discussing eldership, leadership in the church. I have to tell you, I've never been asked to preach a series on eldership. I have had the blessing of serving in four different models of eldership through the years, and I have to say I've never been asked to preach on eldership. So this is an honor to discuss this subject, and I think nothing could be more prudent. And I'll tell you right from the start, I'm not going to go to the good old days, to tradition or nostalgia. We are going to the scriptures, and we will seek the Lord's will in all that we pursue throughout this year. Can I hear an amen? Let us let God be the leader in all things. Let him be the true leader of this church, and let us follow him. As we discuss the subject of eldership, let's talk from the very beginning. Who were the first elders of the church? Who were the first elders of the church? It's not a tough question. The apostles. The apostles were the first elders of the church. Following the Lord Jesus, they were the ones who established and set up the foundation of the church. We're told in Ephesians that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, together with the apostles and the prophets, to lay the foundation of the church on which we are all built. The apostles put together the New Testament. They had the authority and the teaching necessary to get the church rolling. But after the apostles, so that there would be leadership in every local church situation, what did the apostles leave behind? The very command of the Lord, what were they? Elders. And we'll talk about that term elder because that's only one third of the subject. We use the term elder, we don't use the other terms as much. And you'll recognize them as we go through them. Depending on your translations of the Bible, they might be slightly different, but we'll discuss that in the coming weeks as well. We want to talk first about the apostles. When they had in their hearts the idea of being the leadership of the church, what was their focus? What was it that was in their hearts when they saw this body of many people? What did they want more than anything? Let's go to the scriptures and find out. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, that's in Jerusalem, the church is growing, it's off to a fiery, awesome start, the Grecian Jews, the Hellenistic Jews, the Jews who didn't follow the Jewish laws as well maybe as the other Jews, okay, Hellenized, they complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. If we remember back from chapter 4, the church was sharing everything with one another. They were bringing their possessions to the apostles' feet. They were selling their property. They were in such love with the Lord that they said, the things of this earth don't matter so much anymore. Let's share what we have with one another because we love one another because Christ loved us. But then somewhere along the way, as the church is growing, here comes a problem. Our needs are not being met. So what happened? They ran to the elders. What were the elders doing at the time? What was their response? Oh, yes, we'll get right on that. We will make sure that that is taken care of. We don't want you to be offended or hurt. No, It says, the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. No, that does not mean that these first guys were the guys who should only be allowed to pass communion. I've heard that argument so many times. It has nothing to do with that. No. They're saying we should not be distracted from what is very important. And our primary function is what, church? Praying and preaching and teaching. That was in their hearts. They said, may we not get away from this. And what do with elders typically? We overload them with the menial tasks. That is not what God intended. Because elders are pastors. We'll get to that as well. And elders should be those who are praying primarily for your needs, praying for you individually, praying for you as a church, and making sure that the Word of God is taught correctly, honestly, the way God intended. That is their first and primary function. So they said to the church, this is the church, okay? Thousands of people. The word got out. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you. Now, think about the logistical situation here. You have thousands of people in the church, and they say, pick 7 men. Now, it goes without saying, for a church of that magnitude, to pick 7 men, what had to happen? They had to talk to each other. Does that make sense? They had to pray. They had to seek God's will for leadership. But the tasks that need to be done in the church, the stuff that usually we give the most attention to, the apostles, the elders of the church said, we don't want to get focused on the wrong stuff. So let's pick some other guys to get that stuff done. That's the way God said, set it up. But I want you to notice that the apostles turned to the church and said, church, you pick them out. You pick them out. So we want you to know that as we move into choosing leadership, you need to be praying and you need to be picking. You need to be choosing, because that is the burden that God has put on the body of believers. Think about who you would want to lead the church. Seek the Lord's guidance, because I can tell you right now, a couple of guys can't do it all. We need help. So pray that the Lord provides, because never, never do we want you to think that it's just a small group of people trying to control everything. We want to change the way we look at eldership and look to the spiritual teaching of the scriptures. So it says, we will turn this responsibility over to them. Let me back up. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. That goes with leadership. You need people who love the Lord and seek His guidance, who are known to be personal with God and seek the will of God through the Word of God. Not just anything, but what does God want? Let's see here first. What did he say? We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to, here it is again, prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. Why? Because it's what God said to do. When we follow God's instructions, amazing things happen. Jump with me down to verse 7. So the word of God spread. Why did the word of God spread? Because they weren't distracted. They did what they were told. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Great things happen when we obey God. Pure and simple. So the elders understood in the early church, their primary function is to pray and to teach the word of God. Those were the two primary functions of the elders. So keep that in mind. And how will you as a church support that sentiment? How will you make sure that they stay on that focus? Because I will tell you, from a personal point of view, when I am overwhelmed with too many things to do, prayer gets put on the back burner. And that is not where it should be. It should be on the front burner. We should be seeking the will of God first and allowing him to give us the answers, the solutions. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." This is our goal. This is our intent. For the church to be this edifice of living stones. So let us focus on what God wants as we think about what leadership should be. Also in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, it says that eldership is a good thing. I don't know, a lot of time people might have bone to pick or a reason to dislike eldership or think, why do we need this thing? The fact is, we need this thing desperately. It says in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, "The reason I left you in Crete," and this is Paul speaking right to Titus, his right-hand man, you could say, "was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." It was God's intent that the church not be left without a shepherd. And it's also God's intent that it never be just one shepherd, but it be a group of shepherds for every church, so that there isn't a dictatorship. And you know what happened through the ages? The church started to follow the pattern of the Roman Empire. They copied it. So instead of having several elders like God told us to have, they had one primary elder in every church. And soon they had a primary elder over the whole region. And then after that, you had competing elders. They were called bishops, fighting for power, political power. This was never God's intent. But we also must be careful, church, because history teaches us a very valuable lesson. The church will copy the government model at the time. The church copies what they know instead of what they should know. Let's not do that. Let's not be Congress. Let's not be a House of Representatives, all right? Let's not be a group of senators battling over what should or shouldn't be. Let's look to the Scriptures. Let's see what God wanted and do that. There is strength in the community of leadership. Leaders need other leaders. They need that support and that help. And boy, they need your prayers. Satan is going to target anywhere. Where is he going to target? Strike the shepherd, scatter the sheep. So please keep that in mind. We have an enemy. He is alive and well, and he tries very hard to split up the church of God. There is strength in community. Let's talk about the terms that are applied to elders in the Scriptures now, just for a moment. The word elder. In the Greek, we would translate that into English, presbyter. Yes, this is where the church Presbyterian got their name from. Comes right out of the Greek. It means elder or older wise person. By the way, who was the very first elder who ever lived? That's true. How about a human being? It was Adam. Adam was the first patriarch to live on this earth. He was the first tribal elder. He was the first person that people looked to for leadership. Yes, he was a fallen and broken leader, but it was the first person that God established as a leader. And from that patriarchal model, that's where we get eldership in the church. The idea where there is someone who has a few years behind him, who has learned a few things and can bestow on the rest of us a little wisdom. That's the idea of elder. Another term that is applied to the same exact person is, in the NIV it says overseer, in the King James it says bishop, in other translations it says supervisor. The idea of someone who oversees, watches over, in what sense? To defend the church from wolves and from attack, from false doctrine, from malicious forces from within and from without. To offer that security that the church knows it has in Jesus Christ. And also to have that watchfulness to make sure that the church stays focused on what it should be focused upon. The third term that is applied to the elder in the scriptures is, depending on your translation again, shepherd or pastor. Pastor is a Latin word. We grab that out of the Latin language. But it comes from the Greek word that means shepherd. Elders are pastors. I don't know if you knew that or not. But they're supposed to pastor the flock. They're supposed to give the nurture and the care and the love that God intended for the church to feel from leadership. The way He loves us is the way your shepherds should love you. Calling for an eldership, for an elder, comes right out of God's heart because He is, as Keegan said, our primary elder. He is our primary leader. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, it says, here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. There's a noble aspect of eldership, something that is very special that the church needs. And yes, it has to function as God intended. Why is this so important? Why is all of this talk about eldership so important? Because we've only just begun. There is much more to come. Why is this so important now? Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. When the church follows God the way God intended, this is what we see happening. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. If you remember the scenario, Peter and John had been thrown in prison. They had been put on trial. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders, meaning the Jewish elders, those without faith, not those of God, had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. Sovereign Lord, they asked, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, pay attention. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Church, we live in an age where we are becoming more timid, more frightened to share the word. We are being boxed in, hemmed in by the enemy, and being told all over we cannot share the word. We cannot invite people to church. We need to be quiet at the workplace. You know, there are special designated areas where you can talk about that stuff. You can't talk about that stuff over here. I don't think that was the intention of our forefathers. I definitely don't think it's the intention of our God. Verse 30, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Validate the word, God. Let the world see this is true. Authoritate the word in the eyes of the world, Lord. Let them see that it is you that is moving and doing powerful things. Is that not our heart's desire for this church? Do we not want God to be magnified because of what the world sees here? Verse 31, notice this. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, really, wouldn't that be cool? If right after you prayed, the whole building shook. As if to say, you got it. You got it. We're going to shake this world, and this world will not know what hit it. Because the dominion of darkness is coming to an end, and the reign of the King of Kings has come. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Don't we want a little bit of that impetus behind us? God, show up. Please encourage us. Give us fuel for that fire so that we know that you are the rear guard and you're the one blazing the trail. You are the pillar of fire that follows us and is before us. You're there, Lord God. It says all the believers were one in heart and mind. Look at what this does. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. They're letting go of the world. They're letting it go. They're saying this stuff doesn't matter anymore. Look at what's coming. That's awesome. Is that not our desire? To let go of the world and let God manifest his glory. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the church be filled with grace. There were no needy persons among them. Can you imagine? For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone as he had need. This is the church. The church saying, we're going to tackle this world. We're not going to be intimidated by the enemy anymore. We're going to take a stand for what is right. Wherever it leads us, Lord, we're going to follow your word and pursue the truth. Wherever you lead, we'll follow. When it gets scary, we'll cry out louder to you. When we are threatened, shake the house, God, that we know that we are on the right track. Lord God, we seek you in our leadership because there is no greater leader than you. So let's go again into prayer and let's ask the Lord's blessing as we seek to follow the word of God. Would you please stand with me? Heavenly Father, we sincerely cry out to you, humbly asking for your guidance. Lord, you are the chief shepherd, the shepherd of shepherds. You are the chief overseer, and you are the chief elder. Father, please bless us all. Enable us to seek your will in this new year. Lord, increase our faith and help us, Lord, to please you. Lord, help us to divorce ourselves from the things of this world, the things that try to capture our attention, all the idols in this temple, Lord. Throw them out so that, Lord, you are God and the only God and the desire of our hearts, our first love, the one whom we want to please. Father, please bless us because we want to be a blessing to your name. We want this community around us to be drawn to you, not because we are so great, but because you are great, because you are awesome, because you are greater than death itself. Lord God, instill in us, renew in us, empower within us the power of the resurrection now, that we might overcome death itself, that we might not fear anything in this world, but fear you and you alone. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and Lord, we also pray for the lost. We pray that people will be drawn to you, and Lord, we pray that even today, someone will come to call on your name. Someone who was lost who might be found. Lord, please increase your kingdom. Increase your kingdom in our hearts. Lord, help us to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. Pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.